That was beautiful. Thank you, choir. In this series on parables from Matthew, it occurs to me that Jesus' parables have been considered by scholars as very unique and stylized. But they grew out of the Hebrew tradition that Jesus understood. The mashal was a way that the prophets used images to pass along truths to people. Prior to this particular parable that only occurs in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapters 11 and 12, Jesus' words and his actions are met with repeated rejection on the part of what the scriptures say is this generation. And so the parables that are in chapter 13 serve to discuss this generation's rejection of Jesus. But they also heighten the wall of separation between those who hear Jesus' words and those who, as the scriptures say, it falls deaf on their ears. So hear the first part of this parable found in the verse 24 of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus put them before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and then went away. And so when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" May God bless the reading of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, as I unpack what I always thought was a simple parable until I started studying it for this sermon, you have much to tell us, much to allow our lives to be transformed by. So enter our hearts and our minds as we reflect together, ruminate on these teachings, so that our lives might be stronger and better for you and for ourselves. For Lord, you are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus was not so much painting a portrait of the future as he was introducing a concept, the kingdom of God, as a reality here, now, in our midst. He was calling his listeners to understand a perception about us as we live life. It wasn't about a far-off event. It was about how we act and live today. You know, some believe that this was about heaven and hell and a future that we're called to. But that is because of the explanation that Jesus will give, and we will read that, to his apostles in private. But many scholars have varied positions on this. Some think that this was an addition later, because parables didn't have explanations in Jesus' telling. And so it would have been unique. Beyond that, some think that the way it is interpreted is often wrong. And part of that is the translation of words, where the King James Version uses the word world twice. The second word is a completely different word in Greek. It's eon, which means for the ages. It is very possible that as I read this second part, or the reflection of this parable, that what was happening was not about a future event as much as it was about the hearts of people and the way that we assimilate things. You see, there is an interruption after the telling of this parable. And that might be a clue to us. There are two more short parables that are told. And then it says that Jesus went in privately, left the crowds, and talked to his disciples. So let me continue on after this interlude of the two little short parables. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world." Well translated. "And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age," which is translated world in King James Version. "And the reapers are angels. And just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all causes of evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." You see, it is possible, and some people have decided that what Jesus is talking about in this section, if it's not an addition by an editor later, is really about what will happen to his Jewish tradition and faith. Because we know in 70 AD the temple was destroyed, and Judaism, as it was known from its history, as being a temple-driven religion, became very different. The end of Jerusalem happened when in 70 the Roman armies razed the city. And from that point on, we can read in the New Testament that as Paul traveled, he was always remembering the poor that were left in Jerusalem after that catastrophic event, and calling the churches of these new groups of people that were following Christ to remember and to be sensitive and to send help to the people that were left in Jerusalem. You see, if we just take the first part, it instructs us very well how to live. Because the first part reminds us that it is embarrassing to have a faith and not be true to it. The wheat and the tares are not compatible. The truth is that as he tells the parable, the wheat is something healthy and strong, and it's to be there in the world to bring health to the world. And we need to focus on being the wheat. But you know, every one of us have a compilation in our hearts and minds, don't we? Every one of us have things that we do in life that we're proud of. They're good. We make good decisions. We love people. But we also know there are times when we're covetous. We're jealous, we're envious, we do things that we wish we wouldn't do, and the weeds enter our lives. You see, the truth is, there is nothing that's more embarrassing to our Christian lives than our own hypocrisy. We say we want to love people, but don't we get mad at the driver next to us? We say we are patient and kind, and we read it in Scripture, but then we crowd in line at the grocery store. We push our ways through life, don't we? Every one of us are called to represent the church of Jesus Christ. We are part of a community. It's no wonder that Jesus would tell a story about hypocrisy. You see, there was this great landowner. He wanted to make the most of his holdings. He purchased the best possible seed. Do you remember that time when you first were changed by hearing about a God who loved you deeply, desperately, and died for you? And it strengthened you. You became important. But so many things get in the way. So many things in life. Someone once said, the only Jesus other people might see is the Jesus they see in you. Well, sometimes I'm embarrassed by that statement. You see, in this group, there's this anonymous group of people called slaves or servants. I understand them. I kind of identify with them. Because I end up asking myself, what do you want me to do about it, God? There's this problem going on. Is it my fault? I mean, as a pastor, sometimes I have great intentions when I'm counseling a person, but then I walk away and I see things fall apart and I go, did I say the right things? Was I in prayer enough? Did I mess things up for you, Jesus? And I feel like those slaves that went there, Lord, Master, there's seed in there that we didn't plant. No, honest, we didn't. Or at least we didn't intend it. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? There are things we can reflect on. Things we wish we hadn't said. Things that don't really represent our hearts. But you know, it is true that sometimes we mess it up. And so you got to catch Jesus' words in this parable. He says, don't break your hearts over the weeds, farmer. Because we live in a post-Eden fact of life. That is, there is sin in our world. And the wheat grows with the tares. The wheat and the weeds grow together. And it is true that sometimes we feel the fault. But Jesus takes this pragmatic view. Okay, it happened. You know, like the good parent that says, yeah, you made a mistake, but come on, let's get up and turn around and go the right way. And I love you anyway. But the problem is, we want to get rid of the blasted weeds. And so sometimes we try too hard to fix it. We create fences around our lives. Well, if I don't watch TV ever, I'll never see all that violence. So I'm taking the TV out of my room. I'm going to ban myself from tobacco or alcohol or dancing or whatever the church historically has done to create rules. A fence around our Christian life. That's not bad, but sometimes it gets to be very judgmental, doesn't it? So others have reinforced how we must find the right doctrine. In fact, Christianity is full in its history of wars caused by doctrinal differences. And we think that's the way we're going to protect purity, by knowing the exact right things. And our way is best. Well, I don't know about you, but I sometimes am confused. And we see others that try to protect their lives by minimizing their group of friendships. I only go with people who are in prayer daily. I don't let myself associate with those other people because I don't mix. You know, the truth is, the tares and the wheat grow together. There's a classic comment from the comic strip Pogo. We have met the enemy, and he is us. That's right. So who am I to throw my brother or sister under the bus? I mean, such a decision is colored by my own sinfulness. So sometimes as a pastor I'm asked, you know, do you think a person can go to heaven if... And they bring out a statement. I honestly don't know. It's not my job to know. My job is to discover how to live my life and to love everyone. That's hard. Because it is complicated. We do have to set rules when we live our life. But we can't let the rules dictate everyone else's life. And that's because wheat grows just like tares. There's a weed in the Middle East. Jesus always spoke in truths. It's called darnel. And it looks exactly like wheat. A master farmer can't tell the difference until it grows into a big stile. And when it does, you can tell the difference. So Jesus says, let it grow. You continue to be wheat. It will continue to be weeds. But eventually, you can separate it out. No wonder Paul would say, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He says that in Romans. The great ambassador of Christ. The writer of most of the New Testament suggests that even his heart is divided between wheat and tares. But he doesn't beat himself up for it. He just continues to strive toward recognizing the difference and making sure that the wheat nourishes him. The Bible also reminds us that the devil sometimes disguises himself as an angel of light. Sometimes things look really good, and we get into schemes and attitudes and things that then we go down the road and we find they're damaging, they're hurtful. You know, all the rhetoric we've been in this in the last 2 months over voting. It's amazing. But those people have positions. And sometimes it's hard to see what's true and what's not true. The wheat and the weeds grow together. And we're called to decide. I got to tell you, when I went to the polls, I had made an attempt to decide. But I prayed, God, I don't know who I'm being flim-flammed by and who's got the right attitudes. And so take my ballot. Do as best you can. But I don't know. You see, the truth is that I realize that there is a mixture of seed in this world, but the field belongs to God. The truth cannot be understated, that the field belongs to God. Your lives, this world, is God's world. It's His field and His seeds. We need to remember this when the bad stuff seems so strong. when the horrors of war take over, when the politics of life divide us. We need to remember that this is God's world. You know, Mark Twain once said, the devil must be a pretty admirable fellow to have got so large a percentage of the human race to respond to him. Well, there is some truth to that. But the devil wasn't here first, and he will not be here last. And the ultimate power that gathers us in this church is that God is greater. God is stronger. Good will win over evil. But it has to happen through us. You know, I'm so proud of the women of our church getting together and putting on this play, the Green Velvet Dress. I have huge expectations. I hope it's expectations. I am fearful. Apprehension. I am fearful that a small church like ours and all their work, we will not fill this chapel. But you know what? That's my attitudes in trying to separate the wheat and the chaff too early. In Bill Barnes. The truth is, I'm very proud of them. And I've had several women tell me that in this process, their lives have grown. But now they're dependent on all of us to fill this place. Now, I don't know how that's going to happen unless we pray, unless we tell all our friends and bring all our relatives for every show that's there. But even if it doesn't fill it, I am so proud of them for risking. Because what they're doing is they're saying, we have a message of God, and we are going to let wheat show. And they've been in here rehearsing like crazy, filling my office and everything else around here with furniture. Because they've got something to share that will encourage and strengthen people. You know, our Christ never turns our minds off to the world's injustices. We're not blind to the weeds, but we are to stand for what is good. Remember, we need to identify the weeds, but they're not easy to identify. So we've got to do that very tentatively. And yet we've still got to get in there and pick the wheat and bring life to this world. I want to close with a story from this young boy who was in a neighborhood right after he lost his father for the winter. His father used to take him outside and pitch baseballs to him. And he would swing. But this spring, the father and son teams that were happening all throughout his neighborhood were doing it. And he felt alone. But then he thought, not to be outdone, I'm going to do it myself. And he went out there and he threw a ball up in the air and he swung the bat. And it fell to the ground right before his feet. And some kooky neighbor shouted, "Strike one!" Huh. Second time, up. Whoosh. "Strike two, buddy!" And he gets a third. Nope. It fell to the ground at his feet. "Strike three, you're out." Kid looked up, walked right up to the porch of his neighbor, and he said, "You know what? I'm not a lousy hitter. I'm a great pitcher. I just struck myself out." The wheat and the tares, they're part of each one of us. But how do we interpret them? How do we become what God wants us to be in this world? Amen?